Oh, you see how much faster this oil tanker is? Yeah. Because he's coming down river. And he is honking. He says, okay, you swimmers, you see,
oh,
they,
yes.
You see there are swimmers out there.
Oh, yeah. So they shouldn't be past that buoy, should they?
No, yeah. You know, they probably don't want to be. It's not only being run over by the boat, but it also, a boat has an undertow.
Can you imagine swimming alongside an oil tanker? It might sound crazy to you, but it's something that swimmers in Basel, Switzerland do all the time. The Rhine River starts up in the Alps, and it ends up in the North Sea, which makes it a major trade route. And for locals, it's a place to chill out, either on the riverbanks or in the water itself. Urban swimming is also a big thing in Zurich and Bern, which have their own rivers running through them. I'm Susan Masika, and this is the Swiss Connection. I know a Swiss woman who's so passionate about urban swimming that she's been trying to export the concept to where she lives. Her name is Renata von Scharner, and she's an architect and an activist who lives on the other side of the Atlantic, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She taught landscape design at Harvard, where she had her students design spaces alongside the Charles River. But while she enjoyed teaching, she realized that she herself wanted to build things, and she wanted to be able to swim in her adopted city. So Renata has dedicated over two decades to the service of the Charles River, which snakes its way around the greater Boston area. And I was really excited to meet her because I'm from Boston and I love swimming, especially in the Aare River here in Bern. But swimming isn't allowed in the Charles.
To have a river of the importance of the Charles River that is between Boston and Cambridge and not being able to swim in it, it's so sad because it's an enormous resource and it gets much hotter in the summer than it gets in Basel or Bern. And so you really need that cooling off. And it just feels wrong that you have this body of water and you can't get into it.
But you have sometimes gotten into it.
Well, absolutely. And I have worked ever since I was there. I was first involved in just the water testing. But then in the year 2000, I started this organization, the Charles River Conservancy. And bringing swimming back was on the agenda from day one because I feel a river is here to swim. And it's wonderful that we make environmental progress and get it cleaner. But until and unless you can swim, you have not accomplished the work.
As recently as the 1950s, you could see the pollution in the Charles River. There was human waste as well as chemical and industrial waste. Cleanup efforts began in the 60s, and then in 1995, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency set a target for the river to be safe for swimming by 2005. The first ever Charles River 1 mile race for master swimmers was in 2007, and then the first public swim was in 2013. But these probably wouldn't have happened without Renata, who grew up near Basel and who still visits family and friends there regularly. I met her on the promenade along the Rhine and Klein Basel with a good view of the old town skyline.
This place along the Rhine here, that captures so much of what urban livability is about. I mean, the mother jogging by with a baby, a man in his 80s on a bicycle, people walking, swimming. Harry, this is pretty amazing.
She was wearing a headband in her wavy gray hair, and she looked ready for some more waves, thanks to the turquoise swimsuit that was peeking out from under her shirt. I had mine on, too, just in case we'd have the chance to go for a swim together. She was telling me that the Charles is much cleaner than it used to be. Over $500 million have been spent on cleaning it, mostly by separating drainage and making sure that sewage doesn't flow into it.
There are still days when raw sewage goes into the river if there's too much water that the sewage pipes can't handle. So it overflows into the storm drain. So there are a few days a year when you cannot swim because that would the cost of changing the whole infrastructure would be in the tens of billions, and that becomes a public policy. Do you spend those dollars to have 100% safe river, or do you accept that a few days a year you cannot swim? So, I mean, if we can swim, you know, 95% of the time, that is wonderful.
But despite the improvement in the water quality, there's still a no swimming policy. And plus, there's a carpet of toxins on the river floor.
Right now, it's still illegal to swim. It's safe to swim, so even if you fall in, you don't have to rush to the hospital. But the state does not want to encourage, and we don't want to encourage people to jump in at any place. Because there are sediments. It's not like the River Rhine that flows fast and that cleanses the bottom. But the Charles River is very slow flowing. It's more like a lake, and there are sediments there, and these sediments contain a lot of heavy metals and toxins. So you don't want people to stir that up. The water is clean that flows over it, but you want to leave the sediments alone.
But the organization that Renata founded, the Charles River Conservancy, or CRC for short, has a solution for that. It's developing plans for a swim park, where swimmers would be able to get into the water from a clean boardwalk. Their feet would never touch the sediments. And to get people excited about the park, the Conservancy hosts public swims that it calls city splashes.
Day?
Yes.
These are special one-day events where people can sign up for a group swim. Each time, the CRC needs permission from the river's owner, which is the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation. Plus, they have to test the water shortly beforehand.
And it's always tricky because you test the water, and then that was yesterday's water quality. So we have established some procedures that we get the water tested and the approval, and then if it doesn't rain more than a quarter inch, that data stands. Because if there's quite a bit of rain, then some things come into the water, and so the water quality might have changed and you don't have time to test it again.
Luckily, the water quality has held up, but it's murky, so they use the buddy system, as Renata was telling me.
The first time around, we did a city splash, which in a way is like a cocktail party in a river, is that everybody had a buddy. So let's say you and I decided we're going to be buddies together, so you made sure that you at all times knew where I was and vice versa. And the buddies had to check in together, and they had to check out together, so we looked out for each other. But it was very, we signed up together. It was very regulated. Because the water is murky, so it's kind of greenish, brownish, not because it's dirty, but it's just suspended particles of leaves. So you don't see very deep. So if somebody goes under the water, you lose sight of them. It's not like in a swimming pool where you kind of see somebody. So very strict protocols in checking in, checking out. That was very important.
And it was good every time?
Oh, we have not lost anybody. Oh, absolutely. And we had twice as many lifeguards as you would have in a swimming pool, just to make sure everything went well. Because you want that to be a total success, so you can then move on to the next step. And the next step is having swimming there, not just one day a year. That is the goal.
But as legislators want to know, is there really a demand for urban swimming in the Boston area? Do people really want to swim in the Charles River like they do in Basel's Rhine and Burns Aare?
Once you are in that water and you see the trees above you, you see the cityscape, the Golden Dome of the State House in Boston, everybody came out of this experience as a converted swimmer, whereas they might have started saying, oh, I don't know why you want to swim, because the river has this reputation of being a dirty river. There's that song called Love That Dirty Water, which is hard to overcome. So you had to convert people. This is an experience that is wonderful. And only by doing it can you convert people to that.
She mentioned a song from the 1960s, Dirty Water, by a band called the Standells. And it goes kind of like this. Bum, 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 ba-dum. Well, I love that dirty water. Ooh, Boston, you're my home. Bum, 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 ba-bum, bum, bum. And they play that at the baseball games as well, if the Red Sox win. Well, anyway, the City Splashes have been a big success.
Oh, it was sold. There was a waiting list. Another game, you would think, oh, that's too bad. They can't all do it. Well, this is wonderful. It builds up a drama. It's like a rock concert. If you can say after 3 days, sold out, then next time you have the show in town a little bit longer.
Now, the CRC needs to work with the State Conservation and Recreation Department to actually get the park built. Because of the enclosed basin, it'll be a different swimming experience compared to its Swiss cousins. But that makes sense, because the Charles River has quite a different personality.
The Charles doesn't flow much. So here, much in the Rhine and in the Aar, much of the entertainment is that the river is so forceful so that you travel without swimming. Obviously, you need to keep yourself afloat, but in the river Aar, the excitement of the fast moving water is so wonderful. And then you have to grab the bar and you get out and then you do it all over again. So the moving water is exciting. Whereas in the Charles, it's beautiful. The water is now clean, but you don't have that force of the water. It's like a little bit the difference between cross-country skiing and downhill skiing. When you have gravity and slopes to make your skiing fast versus having to propel yourself on your cross-country skis. It's wonderful to cross-country ski, but if you're a downhill skier, the excitement of that is like swimming in the Aar.
And an advantage of the Charles design is that swimmers won't have to look out for boaters. On hot weekends, the Aar and Bern is full of inflatable rubber boats. And much bigger boats cruise the Rhine, which is a key European shipping route.
When I tell them in Boston and Cambridge that you're swimming in the River Rhine when there are oil tankers coming up from Rotterdam, that is a pretty... They're pretty shocked.
I mean, I'm surprised as well because I'm more used to the Aar, and this is quite a contrast.
When you swim, you kind of look of who is coming. You see this oil tanker, it says Dubai on it, that's oil. So he comes up from Rotterdam and he delivers it to Biersfelden. And so before you jump in, you kind of look left and right, like on a highway. Is there a truck coming? If he's coming upriver, it's a little bit slower. But if they're coming downriver, the river is moving fast and they're probably empty, so they're moving at the good speed.
While we were talking, we saw lots of tankers and other large boats. I thought they looked a little scary. So I was glad to have Renat as a buddy for my maiden swim in the Rhine. And while we were getting ready, I asked her how many times she's gone for a dip in the Charles, even though it's verboten.
Well, you know, it's okay to do it privately and secretly, but I think as it's clear, don't take your 100 best friends and do it, obviously. But I'm a windsurfer, so I fall in, and it's nice to know that when I fall in from windsurfing, or I also have what's called a SUP, a stand-up paddleboard, which I see they are now also becoming popular on the Rhine, I might fall in, or I might want to cool off. So because the water is safe, it's just there are no established and no legal swimming places. And it's mostly because of the sediments.
We don't see any sediments in the Rhine. And after walking upstream for a few minutes, we go down a set of concrete steps and over some stones before we take the plunge.
Yeah. All right, well.
All right, are you ready for your first swim in the Rhine?
I think so, yeah.
Great, I'm very excited.
Maybe after you.
All right.
We're both grinning as we half float and half swim down past the cathedral and under the bridges. She's very confident as she navigates the way to a set of steps where we sit in the sun to dry off. Renata may have lived abroad for 40 years, but she hasn't lost her connection to Switzerland.
I'm very grateful that I can come back and enjoy Basel and Bern and Switzerland and the hiking. That's coming more to America, and the bicycling. So there are, I think European culture is generally becoming something that Americans treasure. When I first came to Boston, there were no street cafes. People work much longer hours in America still today than they do in Switzerland.
And it's not just street cafes that she's excited about. It was only a few years ago that a local brewery got a state permit to open two beer gardens on the Charles. Quite a novelty in a country where drinking outdoors is highly regulated.
Along that parkland, along the river, you're not allowed to consume alcohol. And they realize if you want people to come in the evening, you need to offer them beer. So they passed special legislation that you can have a beer garden on the Charles. So this is the first time ever that there's going to be beer. This is a huge thing because these are overcoming these prejudices that you can't have alcohol in a park. And so that's a big step. And that also drinking can be done in a responsible fashion.
Experiments like these are a part of the reason why Renata, in the meantime, a dual citizen, is so enthusiastic about her adopted home.
I love the energy that I have encountered in America, that this attitude of can do, let's try it, we can make it work. And that is something that energizes both business people, innovators, but it's also applicable in the nonprofit world, that you can try new things, that you can start an organization, and then people contribute money, individuals, foundations, corporations, they get tax deductions for it, and then you try new ideas. And that is really a wonderful way of bringing innovation in the civic realm as well as in the business realm. They're not that unrelated, because when you run a nonprofit, it's like running a business. It has to make sense.
When Renata retired from her role as executive director of the Conservancy, her send-off was a gala with 300 guests. The event raised $800,000 to improve the Charles River parklands. Because of the pandemic, there have been no city splashes these past couple of years. But the CRC is looking forward to celebrating the next one in 2022. Creating a seasonal facility for river swimming is still the ultimate vision. The proposed site is in the middle of the city, near the Boston-Cambridge border. Currently, the CRC is looking into how to manage bad algae. There's a floating wetland experiment underway that could help make the water of the Charles River even cleaner. And with any luck, Renata's dream of a swim park could be reality this decade. If you want to learn more about the Charles River Conservancy, visit thecharles.org. And visit us at swissinfo.ch for more stories about extraordinary Swiss people living all over the world. The Swiss Connection is a Swiss Info production. We produce this podcast twice a month, so why not subscribe to be sure you don't miss an episode? And while you're at it, could you please leave us a good review? Or drop us a line if you know somebody that you think we should be talking about. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Danny Wheeler. Our theme music is by Michele Andina. Signing off for all of us, I'm Susan Masika.